You can rewind it.
We gon' take it back to the future, over the top. E.T. Gremlins, RoboCop. Bring it back a couple minutes to when I was 10. Dusting off my favorite movies, gonna watch them again. Then VHS, yeah, we'll give it a crack. Do they hold up? Are they totally whack? Brock and Alexa, give it a play. Tell you to rewind it, throw it away.
Hello and welcome to You Can Rewind It with Alexa and Brock. This is the show where we watch our favorite movies from our childhood. Then we discuss, dissect, and decide, do we still like them, and would we rewind them and watch them again? I'm Alexa.
I am her co-captain, Brock.
And today,
we have 1986's Space Camp. I didn't write the rating on here. Pretty sure it's PG, though, because it's Space Camp.
Yeah, you would think so. And I think I saw it as a kid, so. Yep, PG. Parental guidance.
Oh. So, a synopsis for this movie. The young attendees of a space camp find themselves in space for real when their shuttle is accidentally launched in space.
Okay. Sounds about right.
Launched into orbit.
This is a movie that I saw in theaters.
I saw in theaters also.
I don't remember it. I didn't remember a whole lot of it, and I'm wondering if that's the only time I had seen it. So, although I did like it, so it's kind of weird too.
I can honestly say I have not seen this since I watched it in theaters.
Mm-hmm. Did you like it, though?
Oh, my gosh. I wanted to go to space camp. Mm-hmm. Everyone I know who saw this wanted to go to space camp. Like, this movie spoke to our young youth generation back then.
Isn't that odd, though, that we both saw it once?
That is odd. But I don't think it was, like, super readily available on VHS or DVD. Like, it was hard for us to find.
I saw the movie with my cousin Brad and my sister, and we loved it. And we went back to my grandparents' house, and in the front yard, they had this tree. Not a big tree. The tree had a lot of different clusters of branches, different large branches, I don't know, limbs, I don't know, whatever you call it. And it was like the perfect spaceship, because one person could be sitting in this little cluster, person over here, and we just pretended like we were launched into space, and that was our spaceship, and we played for quite a while out in that little tree.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. So much fun. No. Imagination.
Again, this movie spoke to me. This was such an exciting movie when I was a kid. And again, it was, I'm going to go to space camp.
Yeah.
And my parents said, oh yeah, that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah. How much do you think it cost to go?
I do not remember. But living in Texas, I believe they had space camp in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Still, just a hop, skip, and a jump.
Oh, yeah, still like a six-hour drive. Yeah. But it was a possibility. And then my jerk parents won't let me go. So, this movie, the budget, because there's some filming in this movie at the actual space camps.
The Houston one?
No, the one they filmed at was the original space camp, which was in Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh, okay.
This movie cost $18 million to make. How do you think it did?
I mean, we both saw it in theaters. People were talking about it. I think it did well.
Well, it tanked.
Really?
It only made $9.6 million in its original run.
How is that possible?
It was a marketing nightmare.
Oh.
Right before the release of this movie, the Challenger exploded.
Mm.
Because if you remember, the Challenger had an issue with the solid rocket booster, which during the simulation, that was an issue they were having, was a solid rocket booster.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, with the Challenger exploding, they pushed the release date back a few months, and don't know if the rest of the country was ready to move on from the Challenger at the time.
Oh, wow.
So in this movie, you have the two adults that kind of are leading space camp. They're a husband and wife team. It's Andy Bergstrom, who's played by Kate Capshaw. And I'm like, oh, I know Kate Capshaw. I really don't know Kate Capshaw that much. She was in Temple of Doom. She was in Dreamscape. She was born in Fort Worth, Texas. But a lot of her movies, no.
Hmm.
I haven't seen. Her husband in this movie is the commander, Zach Bergstrom, who's played by Tom Skerritt. You would know him from Alien, Poltergeist 3, Poison Ivy, and of course, Top Gun. He was Merlin? No.
Was he?
I can't remember what his call name was. But yes, he was one of the flight instructors at Top Gun. Then you have the young children, that I guess young children is a stretch, considering one of them's like 47. He's not. 47. Don't worry. He's not. Okay. Kevin Donaldson is played by Tate Donovan. He was in Love Potion number 9, which loved that movie back in the day. He was in Argo. He was the voice of Disney's Hercules, and he was in Memphis Belle, which I loved. But he looked old to be in Space Camp. He's like 19 or 20, and he's in Space Camp.
Yeah, he didn't stand out to me as too old to be in Space Camp. But yeah, I'm not surprised now that you told me that. I'm not shocked.
Another group of this little ragtag group of kids that are...
He was Viper, by the way.
Viper, darn it. Mm-hmm. Darn it. You have Catherine Fairley, played by Leah Thompson. She was in Back to the Future, Howard the Duck, Caroline in the City, and Red Dawn. Mm-hmm. You also have Tish Imbrose, played by Kelly Preston, who was in Jerry Maguire. Has one of the greatest lines in Jerry Maguire. If you haven't seen Jerry Maguire, you don't know the line, watch it again and just listen for a funny line from Kelly Preston during a love scene. She was also in Battlefield Earth with her husband, which is a terrible movie. And she was in The Cat in the Hat.
Okay.
And another one of the kids in this group. Because really the story is going to take place around these kids. Because these kids are going to be shot into space with only one adult, which is Kate Capshaw's character. You have Rudy Tyler, played by Larry B. Scott. And as soon as I saw him, I knew who he was. I was like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I believe his name was Lamar, but he was in Revenge of the Nerds. And he was so funny in Revenge of the Nerds as like the gay guy in the fraternity when they did the Olympics and he had the javelin, but it was all flimsy and it was like bending on both sides. You've never seen it, I know.
I've seen bits and pieces of it, and I was actually listening to some of the commentary on the other disc, and they said that he still talks about that he's noticed for Space Camp a lot of the times. Like, people will be like, I know you. And he'll think, oh, from Revenge of the Nerds. And they'll be like, they'll know him from Space Camp.
That's crazy. Because I would have known him from Revenge of the Nerds. Mm-hmm. He was also in The Karate Kid. He played Jerry, which I don't remember Jerry all that well.
Yeah, I don't remember
and Jerry. And he was in a kind of a Top Gun knockoff called Iron Eagle that I loved when I was younger. Probably absolute garbage now.
Interesting.
The last kid in this group is Max, played by Leaf Phoenix. And I said, oh.
Who's Leaf Phoenix?
I said, that's the brother of River and Joaquin. Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's Joaquin.
Yes, it is Joaquin Phoenix.
He was going by Leaf Phoenix at the time. This is his feature film debut. And of course, you know Joaquin Phoenix from Gladiator, Walk the Line. He was also in Six Pack, the TV movie. Sorry, I know you love Six Pack, the theatrical movie.
Yep.
So.
And he's Walk the Line's like one of my favorite movies.
I still have not seen
so good.
The movie.
But it's interesting, his parents were hippies. They're actually in a cult.
They were in Children of God cult, which if you don't know what that is, there's a Netflix special on them, and it is crazy.
It will blow your mind watching the special on the Children of God cult that his parents were in. They were hippies, which is why.
Well, I went to church growing up, and I feel like me and him have a different upbringing. I don't remember our church doing some of that stuff.
Yeah, so, but that's really interesting that he wanted to go, I guess, with the beginning of his career, he wanted to go with a more nature-sounding name, and that's why he was Leaf.
Well, I'm wondering if he went by Leaf before this. Because his brother's River, and he's, you know, Leaf. Is he Leaf Joaquin or Joaquin? I have no idea. I should have looked that up.
But he's really Joaquin.
It's Leaf. Joaquin Phoenix. Mm-hmm. The one you know is Joaquin Phoenix today.
And that's his real name, not Leaf.
So, we gave the synopsis, but I just want to kind of give a quick little... Tell the story in a nutshell. So, these kids meet up at Space Camp, and they have a mentor, a leader, who is... Kate Capshaw's character, Andy Bergstrom, who's a wannabe astronaut. Like, that's her desire. She's a fighter pilot. She's an awesome lady. Like, she's a badass. Mm-hmm. But she keeps getting passed over. And they're going to do some type of test on the shuttle where they're going to, like, fire some of the components of the shuttle. And it's not a real takeoff because the kids are going to be in there, in the shuttle. With only one adult. Oh, yeah, because I'm sure NASA was just all on board.
Well, things could have happened. It could have blown up during the test. I mean, you just don't know. You're on a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of fuel you're sitting there attached to. Like, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable my kids just hopping in there.
I'd sign that liability waiver.
But of course, Max, played by Joaquin Phoenix, he had made friends with a NASA robot named Jinx, who wants to do everything Max says. So Max says, you know, I'd love to go to space. All right. So Max needs to go to space. Jinx basically tricks the system mm-hmm. into sending the shuttle into space with a bunch of kids and one adult. Mm-hmm. That's the story and how they get back to Earth.
I didn't remember that it was Jinx that sent them to space.
Yeah, I remembered a lot more of this movie than you did.
I didn't know that's how they got to space at all. I don't even remember Jinx.
Well, and to be honest, what I remember from this movie, I wasn't 100% was this movie. Once I saw Jinx, I'm like, okay, I'm right. But I wasn't sure because
I thought he was Johnny Five.
Okay, I wish it was Johnny Five. It'd have been a lot more entertaining with Jinx. Jinx was cute.
He was cute, and he is a dedicated friend, and he pulls a lot of strings and worked really hard to get Max into space.
Yeah, look, what I've learned about NASA, I think we need to cut their funding. They're very careless with the safety of these children. They just let the kids steal NASA property because Max takes Jinx mm-hmm. and sticks him in his closet, like right by his little bed.
Yeah.
And then when Andy and the commander Zach, when they find out Jinx is in there, they're like, "Well, we got to go get Kevin and Catherine. They're down.
We need to
making out
bust their makeout session more than try to protect the robot.
What about the $20 million robot in this guy's closet? And no one's worried about that. No punishment.
Well, they can't have anything like that going down at space camp, sneaking out.
So during this movie, Catherine and Kevin, Tate Donovan and Leah Thompson. Mm-hmm. Who are both, like, in their 20s, it looks like. Well, no, Leah did not. Leah actually looked fairly young.
Yeah.
She looked younger than Tate, I thought.
But they are both in their 20s?
I don't know.
Oh.
But I just made that up. But they're basically at this kind of, like, almost like a little beach mm-hmm. like by a lake. And they're watching, they're looking at the shuttle. The shuttle's kind of illuminated. And they're just kind of looking at the shuttle. That reminded me, Alexa. And you know this story, but one of my closest friends in college.
Mm-hmm. Friend of mine in college.
Yeah, a friend of yours too. I played soccer with him, and he was the upperclassman that kind of made sure I was ready to play my freshman year. Really cool guy.
Mm-hmm. He dated a lot of friends of mine.
And he dated a lot of high school girls, which is kind of creepy.
Yeah.
But there's an Air Force base within 20 miles of our college, basically. Mm. And there's like a back way, like near the runways. Now, of course, it's all fenced off, and don't get me wrong, but it's kind of a dark area where no one ever goes, and he would take girls, and it's called blue lights because the runway's got blue lights, you know, letting the planes know where mm-hmm. to land. But he would always take girls there, and he had the line, "You look cold. Can I warm you up?"
This is what he told you.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. His line. And what's funny was when I told one of your friends, she's like, "He used that line on me."
that was
his go-to.
The girls had talked to each other, and they knew that they had also been to the blue lights with him. Like, yeah.
He was infamous for taking girls to the blue lights and putting his moves mm-hmm. on.
People but were on to him.
Don't worry, babe. When I went to blue lights with Mark, no funny business.
He didn't try that line
on
you?
Oh, he tried. But I'm like, no, sir. No, sir. We got a game
not
tomorrow.
Not cold.
Yeah, not before a game.
No, that reminded me of that, too, because I heard those stories about these ladies going out to the blue lights with him.
I thought that was hilarious because I'm thinking.
And most of the time,
he's pulling a blue lights move.
Innocent, but I mean, who knows?
Not with my buddy, it wasn't innocent.
Well, with my friends, it was.
That's not what I heard.
Okay, whatever. Okay, I don't know if that's the same time, but they saw a shooting star. I've seen a shooting star. Have you seen a shooting star?
Quite a few times, yes.
Actually, I think that was at the very beginning. The very beginning, we got treated to seeing Andy as a child, which was a strange.
Yes, thank you.
Way to start the movie.
Thank you.
And it looked like bizarre too. She looked like it was just weird. But she saw a shooting star, and I've seen a shooting star, and it's just one of the coolest things.
I'm a grown ass man.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason I should get excited over a shooting star. But just a few months ago, I was driving home from work to see my wife and daughters. And I got so excited because I saw a shooting star. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to tell Lex. Well, why do you care? I mean, sure. Aww. But I did. I got so excited over a shooting star. So, filming for this movie was supposed to take place over a 3-month span. On the first day of filming, because of issues, they fell 10 days behind.
Okay. kind of issues?
Don't know. But it took 6 months to film this movie.
Oh, gosh. That's a long time.
6 months when it's supposed to be a three-month schedule, which is maybe why it's an $18 million budget, also using NASA stuff. And they got a robot and special effects. But it just makes it all the worse that filming took longer. You know, it cost $18 million, and they did $9.6 million. That's it. I never realized this was such a flop. I'm sad.
I didn't know that either.
Well, again, this movie... We've talked about watching this movie before. We actually got a copy from the library, but unfortunately it was VHS, and we don't have a VHS player at the time.
Yeah, we had to borrow one. By the time we got it,
we had to take the movie back. So
yeah, it didn't work out. So thanks to our friends that lent it to us. They got from
Netflix,
the kind you have to order the discs.
The old school Netflix.
And they said it took a long time to get it.
There's a huge wait list, they said, on Netflix for it, or there was.
I got an idea. Get another copy.
Well, I mean, honestly, obviously there's a demand for this movie, so why not? And it can't. I mean, I'm sure Netflix could probably buy it for $5, so they'll make the money back fairly quickly.
Can I talk about the robot more?
Let's go with Jinx.
I always wanted a robot, and I really thought I'd have one right now. And I think some of the things that I thought the robot would do, we kind of have that. We just don't have it in the form of a robot. Robot is kind of like Google, in a way.
He's very much like Google, because they even said that time when they're trying to get to the beach to see the shuttle and he's making his moves on her. He's, you know, he talks to Max, and he's like, you know, what's the best way to get out of here without going by the main person, security gate, whatnot? And Max is like, oh, you go this direction, blah, blah, blah. Jinx said it. And he's like, no, I got to avoid that area. And it tells him, it's Google directions. That's all it is Google Map directions. It's like, wow.
I'm sure it was so impressive at the time.
But the problem with robots and movies, and I always wanted a robot, but every time I would see robots like at Radio Shack, they didn't do crap. They would pick some up.
I know.
These robots always have like personality. They have feelings. They have like this like emotional intelligence. Hollywood destroyed my robot dreams. I didn't know that.
I know. I did want a robot.
Heck yeah. I mean, I wanted Max. I wanted someone to talk to me and look after me, and it was so cool.
The robot friends Max, we know that.
Yes.
And the robot has extreme loyalty to him.
Yes.
So much so that when he says, like, Max has said, I want to put Max into space. Max wants to go to space.
Yes.
And causes all this trouble. The believability is way far gone. Like, how can we get Max into space? Oh, well, we would have to have this malfunction, and then that could actually kill your friend Max, unless they launch the shuttle.
So the scene you're talking about, and this is why I want to cut NASA's funding, it's just this lack of security they have. Jinx goes into this room.
You keep calling the robot Max.
Because Max and Jinx both end in X. That's tough.
Yeah.
So Jinx goes into this room to basically figure out how to get Max into space. And it's all voice commands. So he's talking to another computer. I could have just walked in there and been like, hey, shoot the shuttle. Are you sure? Yeah, why not shoot it off into space? Okay. I mean, it was a horrible security. He's like, Jinx talks to the NASA computer, and he's like, you know, I want to get Max into space. And he's like, oh, I can't really do that, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, you can. Oh, no, he'll die. We'll try it this way. They're working together to find out how to sabotage this to get him into space. When it all goes down, Jinx is in this giant room of computers. He's obviously dilly-dallying around with, you know, controls and stuff to get the shuttle to actually launch. Where is security? No one's in this room. No one pays attention. This movie is far-fetched. I get it. It's a bunch of kids going in space. But here's my problem. You can still try to make it halfway believable, even with an unbelievable premise. No. It's unbelievable.
Do you think they thought about changing the way that the shuttle went up because of the challenge? Like, there was no other way for them to...
You know, I don't know. I mean, they were already over budget, it sounds like, and they were late on how long it took to film, so I don't know if they want to go, you know, send out a second crew or anything. I don't know. I feel like the movie was wrapped. They were getting ready to release. Challenger happened. We'll just delay it until we're ready. Didn't work. Unfortunately, didn't work.
Going back to when they get to camp, they get put in different groups.
You have Catherine and Kevin.
Catherine and Kevin.
You had Catherine's friend Tish.
Tish, yeah.
And then you had Rudy and Max.
Now, Tish, and I talked to somebody about this movie because when at some point in the movie, she uses Morse code.
Yes.
And she says, I read it in a book. But I guess previously in the movie, and I missed it, she says that she's one of those people who remembers everything they read.
I actually had forgotten about that. But that makes a lot more sense because we even said when we heard that, oh, you read a book, so now you're an expert in Morse code. Amazing.
Because you can't just read it and be like, oh, I know it. You have to know that it's like dot, dot, dash.
Dash. Yeah, you got to know the letters.
The only reason I know what it is because I had a walkie-talkie, and on the walkie-talkie,
yes,
it had Morse code on the bottom.
Yes, that was so, and I still couldn't do it, but that was so much nicer. I can just follow along with it.
Right, and I would try to do it. But it's like, what? Why am I even doing this? Because
it's a walkie-talkie. I can talk. We're not in war. Exactly.
But that's why I was like, how can you just read something and now you know it? But maybe if she is one of those
She has one of those types of memory where she just can memorize everything from reading, sure. I mean,
that seems like a very convenient way to, like, I'd rather her say, I had a walkie-talkie and I would do Morse code with my brother.
Well, again, just kind of suspend your belief here, because it is a movie for kids, I believe.
She also, at a point in the movie, they have to use her belt.
Okay, so Max is going to go on a spacewalk, which, by the way, when you see them training, they're doing a reentry in the shuttles. Everyone's in the shuttles, they're doing reentry, except for Max, who's still attached to the arm outside the shuttle. So they're going to, the plan is to enter the atmosphere with Max hanging outside the shuttle? That seems pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
But when they're actually in space, they need to get oxygen because they weren't prepared to go into space. So they're running out of oxygen and they're going to die. But there's a space station that has oxygen up there. So they just need to rendezvous with the space station. They're going to, you know, get some of the oxygen tanks. They're like 12 hours worth of oxygen. They'll be fine. Problem is, the only adult, Andy, she cannot fit through this like metal structure in space, the space station, to get the oxygen. But Max is smaller. The problem is the spacesuits don't, you know,
Spacesuit's still the same size?
Yeah. Which, by the way, she couldn't get in because she had that giant glass helmet. Max has the same giant glass helmet, so that didn't really explain that, but that's okay.
Yeah, okay. We'll look back at that.
But the suit is way too big for Max. So they take Tish's belt. That belt wrapped around that boy's body about 37 times. That belt had to be about 63 feet long.
Ridiculous. Most of the time, it didn't look like a belt.
Not at all. But it was just like, wait, that's the belt? I thought they were going to, like, you know, like...
Here, you could use my belt.
Yeah, I thought they were going to, like, you know, just kind of put it around him and just kind of tighten it up. No, it goes around his neck, his shoulders, his arms, his chest, his waist, his legs. It's like, come on. How big is that girl's belt?
Yeah, but, no, it's crazy. At one point, I wrote down, Brock yells, no way. I don't know which part it was that you yelled no way.
The part I yelled no way. So they're all in the shuttle, and of course the adult Andy, the actual fighter pilot, she is not in the commander's chair or the pilot's chair because she's just there to oversee and help. So she's like in one of the passenger chairs, I don't know what you call it, one of the crew chairs. So the space shuttle is taking off and they're like, oh my god, it's actually taking off. So she tells Leah Thompson's character, switch seats with me, the pilot. So she jumps in Leah Thompson. The problem is the shuttle is hanging, which is so cool, by the way. It's pointed up. The nose of the shuttle's up. So you're actually sitting in a chair, but you're facing up. Problem is she couldn't get into the chair, so the shuttle takes off and she falls back into the cabin. No injury, really. That's when I yelled, no way.
No way.
There's a reason they have seatbelts on space shuttles. There's no way she just falls back and the dude catches her and she's fine.
Yeah, but it's so cool thinking that they are in orbit right now. And at one point, Max says, I want to go home. You should have told your friend Jeeks you wanted to go to space then.
The way that and we had this in HD. We did not watch it in movie mode, like standard def. It didn't look awful. It did not look awful.
Parts looked...
A couple parts, but honestly, overall, it held up visually.
Anytime they were out in space...
Yeah.
And some of their moves in the space shuttle. I mean, they did try really hard to pretend like they were floating around there.
Yeah, that was the hardest thing for me to digest. Like, I struggled to watch as they're acting, like, they're moving their bodies like they're floating, but you can tell they're just standing there and just kind of wiggling their bodies.
That would be hard.
That's super hard. And you're asking young actors and actresses, like, you're going to act like you're in space this entire movie once you go into orbit, so y'all got to act weightless. But you're moving around the shuttle, and they don't show, like, their feet. They're showing them from, like, the chest up or waist up. So to make it look like they're floating, they're just kind of shifting their shoulders, you know, like it's, they're in a, like a wavy motion.
Kind of cool. It's kind of old school,
I guess. I mean, I don't know how else you're supposed to do that in 1986. How do you do weightlessness with actors unless you put them in that vomit comet plane that shoots up in the air and then dives down so fast and you're at zero gravity for 20 seconds, but then has to go back up, and that's got to be a little pricey.
Yeah, I don't think, I think they spend enough movie on, or money on the movie.
They didn't want to spend more? There's a lot of scenes in this movie where it's like they just left. They had extra dialogue that just did not need to be there.
Well, they had some stuff that it was like, oh, that's so predictable because she sees something, Andy sees something special in Catherine. So she's
oh,
like,
yeah.
You're special. Hard on you because you are
special. Why are you hard on me?
Because you're special, Catherine.
And she was.
She was, but she, in times of pressure, she didn't handle herself like a shuttle commander, so.
She acted like a teenager. Oh, she was a teenager. That's why she said space camp.
Yeah, but she initially made her the pilot and the other guy the shuttle commander. Yep. And I thought it was just to, like, push that guy forward. But maybe the whole time she knew, hey, she's a pilot. She does that really, really well. And that's good.
I actually thought the same thing. I thought she was really doing it for him. Mm-hmm. But now looking back, I think you're right. I think she was doing it to push her. Like, this is your gift. You can be a pilot. You can be... Because she says, you know, I don't want to be a pilot. I want to be the commander. And he's like, yeah, I don't care. I'll be whatever. And she's like, okay, then you're not going to be the pilot. You're going to be the pilot. Mm-hmm. I know I'm be the commander, but you're going to be the pilot.
Do you want a quote from Jinx?
Sure.
Max and Jinx, friends forever.
That's a terrible impression. That's as bad as my Smokey the Bandit impression.
You try it.
Sorry, I don't do impressions.
Oh, I got another part that stood out. When Andy is, you know, she's putting on the oxygen and she gets shot backwards, hits the wall, and then she starts floating. And Max is supposed to be pulling her in. He's not hardly even pulling.
He's not even trying to pull.
The thing is closing and he's just like,
she's so heavy and when she's weightless.
Wasn't that bizarre?
It was. If you wouldn't have pointed that out during the movie, I would have missed it. Because I'm just like, oh yeah, he's pulling her in. You're like, he's not really trying to pull her in at all. And it's like,
he's not even pulling.
And it's almost kind of a poor acting job on Joaquin Lee Phoenix's part of, why are you not, act like you're pulling. Act like you're trying and you can't, but don't be like, it's not working. My hands just don't know how to pull.
Yeah, fall down. Do something else.
Sell this, man. Come on.
But there were times of intensity that were actually intense. Like, you could feel the desperation. You were worried.
It was actually a lot more dramatic than I remembered.
I'm surprised I got everything as a kid.
I don't know if I did get everything.
Maybe I didn't get it. Maybe that was the whole thing.
I didn't understand. There's no way I understand this whole story of how it was progressing. There's no way. My love, would you like to go first?
Yeah. Bring no.
No?
Okay, yes. You know what? I'm going to go first. I'm going to do it.
Someone's struggling with their decision.
Yeah, but I'm just going to go for it.
Go for it, my love.
Because I've been, So I went into this excited. All these, I was going to say good memories, but I don't think it was, I didn't really remember anything, so I'm not really sure what memories I was taking in, except for maybe the fact that I knew that I liked it as a kid. But I thought it was entertaining. I thought the parts that were supposed to be intense and drama, I felt the drama, the reality, and that's not usually something I weigh stuff on, because, I mean, you got the triple indie, I mean, you got all these things that are not reality, and this is definitely not one But I just couldn't totally get into it. So for that reason, I think even though I did enjoy it, I just can't give it a rewind. Because I don't think I'd recommend it.
I really thought you would give this a rewind.
You did.
So I was hesitant to watch this movie. Because I did love this movie as a kid, and I have not seen it in probably 30 years. So, going into this, I really thought, this is going to suck. Mm. I mean, it's a space movie from 1986 about kids going into it. It's going to be terrible. Mm. It's not. It's got funny parts. The kids do a fine job acting. I mean, again, you know these actors. But our daughters had no interest in seeing this, and even when they kind of saw little pieces of it, they just, I don't think it holds up. Number one, the space program and idea seemed to have waned over the years.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have the moon landing well before us. But from that point, even coming into, I mean, I remember we watched shuttle launches at school. I knew about the different shuttles, and it was just more... It seemed like America,
more present in our lives.
Yeah, America as a country had more of an agenda about space back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's possibly coming back and whatnot. Who cares? This is about this movie.
Right.
But I don't think this movie has necessarily the audience it had 30 years ago. And I probably will never see this one again. Mm. It took 30 years for me to watch it this time, and it's a good movie. It's actually a good movie. Mm. I'd recommend it, kind of, for certain people. But I cannot give this a rewind.
Yeah, you did a really good job explaining that, actually. That makes perfect sense.
Thank you.
You're very articulate. I agree with you. Oh,
you're the sweetest love.
Yes, I agree with you. I feel like it is good, but it's not. I just can't rewind it.
Not in good conscience.
Nope.
There you have it. Two non-rewinds for Space Camp.
That makes me sad. This has been another episode of You Can Rewind It with Alexa and Brock. Check out our social media. We are on Twitter, You Can Rewind It. Facebook, You Can Rewind It. Instagram, You Can Rewind It. And we have an email, youcanrewindit@gmail.com. If you get a chance to leave us a review on iTunes, we'd greatly appreciate it, as we have been told that this helps get your podcast moved up.
Ooh.
In the view, but I don't know. But if you have time and would like to do that, we would love that. And just remember, just because you can rewind it doesn't mean you should.
Thank you for listening.
I mean, I don't want Robot if he's gonna cause any drama in my life.
Bobby's gonna send me into space with a bunch of kids.
Just hoping he'd help me do chores or something.
No kidding. I got math homework. No, going to space.
Brock wants to go to space camp.
No, Jinx, I don't. Stop trying to send my ass into space.
How can we get Brock to space?
This is probably not gonna happen.
Put rocket fuel in element.
In my car? My little 4-cylinder car is gonna shoot off. Rewind it. You can rewind it. Rewind it. Rewind it. You can rewind it.